Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the rain and thunder capital of the world today. This is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to ScaryCast, where we always have a great time, and we got a full house of our co-hosts, and we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest. So I'm going to start by introducing the queen of ScaryCast from the Midlands of South Carolina, the one and only Robin McCrae. How are you doing tonight?
I am great. I'm excited about tonight's show.
Well, we're glad you are. We're glad to have you here. We're always glad to have you here. You're just a ray of sunshine for ScaryCast, and we appreciate it. And the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, the one and only Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Good night, John. Good night. I finally finished putting in an irrigation system, so I'm resting on my laurels. They're wet. They're wet laurels, which is what you want. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something, buddy. When I called you today and you sounded like you were out of breath and going to die, I'm glad you sound great now. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't die. That would have really put a damper for my evening.
That would have messed up our podcast is what it would have done. We can't have any deaths in the co-hosts. So anyway, we're glad you're here. And from Hollywood, California, now Sacramento, but originally from Kansas. He's been from all over, and he's the founding co-host of ScaryCast, and we're always glad to have Devin Tate. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing good, enjoying some 100-plus degree weather here in Sacramento.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, well, the West is getting cooked.
That's right. And it was 78 degrees and cloudy and partly raining today in beautiful, sunny Myrtle Beach. I mean, what more can you say? We got more water here than all of Lake Mead, I'll tell you that. So anyway, we're certainly glad to have you here. And from Houston, Texas, the one and only Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
I'm doing great. It's been a good day. Really funny day, actually. We've been getting all the rain, so not a huge fan of that, but it's been a good day.
Okay, well, we're glad to have you here. So first of all, I want to announce to everybody that October the 1st, 2022, is a very special day. It is a Saturday, and from 10:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m., the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference returns, and we are so excited. We've got great speakers. We're going to have a lot of fun. First of all, our keynote speakers, we have, first of all, Robin and Pat McCrae. Robin, thank you, and Pat, for being there in advance.
Well, thank you. We're excited about it.
Well, good. We're glad to have you there. And we're going to have Elijah Henderson, who's, I guess, since his father has passed away, he's now the king of the land between the lakes. And he's a great speaker, and he's a lot of fun. Now, in the crowd and visiting around with everybody is going to be Bart Nunley. And Bart Nunley is a dogman experiencer. He's a Bigfoot experiencer. He's an author. He's a television star. He's everything. We're glad he's going to be. We got the word today. He's going to be there. So that's a lot of fun. We've got a lot of other friends coming up. Matt Delph's going to be there, our buddy from somewhere in western Virginia. So he's going to be there. Mark Holt will be there. Absolutely. And Dave Eller will be there. And Dr. John will be there. And Robin, who else will be there? Is that it? No, we got more people. I can't think. The post goes up tomorrow.
I know. Yeah, it'll be fun. We're going to have a good time.
We are. And we've also got some new people that we don't know. Matt introduced me to these very nice people. And the better half of these very nice people is with us tonight. The one and only Terry Ling, and I cannot remember your other hyphenated last name, so I'm going to say, hey, Terry, we're glad you're here, and remind us who you are. I have, listen, since my car wreck and my stroke, I have no memory. So who are you? And we're glad to have you.
Well, I'm sorry to hear all that about you, but I am Terry Lynn Keel.
That's right. And her husband's got a video company there in Paris, Tennessee. They're from Paris. And I think that's great. We're going to have some super locals. We'll have Elijah Henderson and Terry and her husband, because they're all local. And that's a lot of fun. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're in the same location in the Paris Convention Center where the International Dogman Conference was held. And that was, I think, August 13th. And I heard that was a heck of a great event. And we're glad to be following up on that. I guess Paris, Tennessee is becoming a hotbed of conference activity. Now, 3 years ago, no one would have ever guessed that. But we're all glad to be there. And we'll probably have some of the Dogman people there. And I'm hoping that Evan Reichert is going to be there. Evan has a new story in my book, Look Up in the Sky, 4th edition, and it's about his dogman sighting in some little tiny town in Kentucky. And I mean tiny, it has a Dollar General and 2 gas stations. But most importantly, it has a barbecue restaurant. I mean, you can't have a town without a barbecue restaurant, can you? So anyway, we're glad to have you here and wanted to start off by tell us a little bit about you, who you are, a little bit about some of your adventures, and then let's get into, you've got a marvelous, marvelous Bigfoot sighting from several years back. We would love for you to talk about it. So, Miss Terry, okay, the floor is yours on ScaryCast.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I guess to tell you a little bit about me, I have lived a very paranormal life, which was very normal to me. It started out that way when I was 5 years old and hasn't let me down yet. And I've just had a lot of different experiences, and I've got a blog, terryling.com, and I share about 150 of those on there, and I'm going to be uploading ones that have happened, you know, within the last few years. I just haven't gotten around to it yet, but I also am a speaker at different UFO conferences, Bigfoot conferences, and paranormal. And I am with MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. I'm one of the board of directors. I was the state director for Florida for a few years back, and moved here to Paris, Tennessee, and have continued to have amazing experiences here. We moved into a very haunted house purposefully, and you know, there were so many things that I wanted to test the waters on, and the waters didn't let me down. So I'm loving every minute of it. But you know, we did have a Bigfoot sighting. It was not a planned venture, even though we had gone out many times in Florida to the Green Swamp, and we owned a home in 2019 down in Lakeland, Florida. I don't know if any of you know where that is, but kind of in the center of the state between Tampa and Orlando. And we lived on about an acre and a half of land that butted right up to the Green Swamp, my husband and my older son and I. And it was really a pretty wide open backyard, because we had this, it was like a retention pond, but it was really big. And we had a big open sky in the backyard and many, many, many trees. But if you look to the right, you know, this retention pond was there. And the back 40, as we would call it, had this dilapidated wire fence back there. So just trying to set the stage a bit for you so you can understand where we were when all of this happened. And the Green Swamp, in case you didn't know, is a large area of wetlands and hammocks and pine barrens, that sort of thing, connected by small areas of, you know, deep trees and thick bush, and then deep, thick forest, which runs about through the center of the state of Florida. Our home was built right up to that. It's just beautiful wetlands, and we loved it. We would often see sandhill cranes in our yard, turtles, hawks, you know, all kinds of birds, alligators, eagles, snakes, you know, the cottonmouth were back there, rat snakes, black snakes, and rattlers, lots of rattlers, as well as, you know, huge, colorful spiders. So we were kind of like in this, like living in the swamp, but only just about maybe a half acre away from it, you know, because the house was on an acre and a half, and the backyard was that whole half acre, but it was coming right into that swamp area. So it was like living in the wilderness all the time, but we really loved it. So there was a large retention pond, like I said, to the south out back, but then to the right of our property, that area went back, I'm going to say about 8 blocks. So there was just nothing but nature and no neighbors, nothing like that, no one behind us. There were 2 houses on either side of us, but then that was it, and we lived on a cul-de-sac, so there wasn't anything else around there. So that, did you have a question?
No, honey, I am so sorry. I've been coughing all night. I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I thought maybe you were saying something. Okay.
No,
so then anyway,
I actually have been really enjoying it.
Well, good. It's going to get better, I promise. This is really an amazing story that happened, very happenstance to us. Like I said, this was not a planned venture at all. Even though we had gone out many times looking for Bigfoot, this wasn't one of them. So this pond out back had a lot of fish and frogs. It was relatively deep. You know, it would probably have come up to your thighs anyway if you were walking in it. And like I said, a lot of birds. We had otters. And on some evenings, like right around dusk, we could always hear these cows coming. And you could hear them because one wore a bell. And it was literally a cowbell. And so, you know, those things are loud, and we would hear it. And we were, you know, kind of meandering out into the backyard to see these cows. And we were trying to see them at different times, and sometimes you could, and sometimes you couldn't. Well, this one night, we also had this huge sinkhole that was located to the north of our property behind the one house that was to the left of us, and it was a neighbor's home. That area was not fenced, okay? So it was just a big open back area. And it was several hundred feet back and then a bit to the north of the home. And on other evenings, you know, you could hear those cows going in that direction instead of to the other one, the retention pond area. They would go over to that sinkhole for a drink. And it was really heavily, lots of palmettos, trees, and all that kind of stuff. But they would come out from that fenced area behind our house. So anyway, on the evening of my sighting, my husband and I went out back just to get a closer look at the cows because we had heard the cowbell coming. And I hadn't really seen them that much. I heard them, and I heard, you know, many nights, but I'd never really seen them come out. So we were down
Terry, this is Dr. John. I've got a burning question for you. Were these cows found to be real, or were they found to be ghost entities and paranormal?
They appeared to be very real. They were massive. I'm telling you, that was what I was getting into here. You know, they appeared to be very real. And they were the biggest cows I have ever laid my eyes on. And I was quite shocked as I saw them walk through our backyard on the other side of that fence this night. And it was about 6-ish in November. So it wasn't really dark. And, you know, you could still see just fine, you know. And so anyway, we're looking to the east at the cows and marveling at their size. and we could see little bits of some other ones coming through the fig trees. There was maybe about six of them, but there were two that were so big that it was ridiculous how big these, you know. And I don't know, maybe I just haven't seen that many cows in my life, but these guys were big. And anyway, it was really exciting for me. And they are just such beautiful animals and, you know, such peaceful little animals. And they were just coming out. Somehow or other, they would get out of their pens from wherever they were. I don't even know where they ever came from. We never did figure that out. And they would just wander about that green swamp behind our house. So anyway, as we were both staring to the east, watching the cows, something on the far side of the sinkhole caught my eye. It was on the north side. And I started looking over in that direction. And I thought to myself, because I knew something was moving, I thought maybe there were more cows coming. And, you know, so I didn't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, next to these tall, tall pines and a lot of thick brush, to my surprise, was a huge, I'm going to say 10 to 12 foot tall, massive being. And he was solid black. And I immediately thought, that's a Bigfoot. And I couldn't believe it when I was looking at it, because even though my husband and I had gone to town meetings and many things, I didn't know if I really believed it. You know, I thought maybe he was extraterrestrial. Maybe there was something interdimensional about him. I didn't know. But there he was. And he stood completely still when my eyes met his. And even though I couldn't see his face perfectly, because he was relatively far away, I'm going to say a good half acre away, on the other side of that huge sinkhole, his large black frame was frightening. The breadth of his shoulders alone looked like, you know, you immediately went into this thought of danger, 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 you know, run. It was, he was huge and frightening, but he wasn't presenting any issue to us. He was just standing there, and I was kind of drinking it all in, and then I started to scream to my husband, who was still looking at the cows, and I really didn't know if I should scream loud or if I should just say, Kevin, Kevin, look, you know, but let me just say this. I knew he wasn't a bear, because bear, when they stand, tend to move forward a bit. And I've seen bear, and there are no black bear where we lived. There had never been any sighting of that. You know, there had been sightings of, because of the scat that they would find, all these wild cats, these big cats, but never bear. And I could see this thing staring at me, and I was staring at it. And he wasn't a bear. He did not have a snout like a bear. His head was big and no neck at all. I mean, it was like it was a lump on his shoulders. And that was what was so weird. And I felt like this is definitely, definitely a Bigfoot. And, you know, he had a round face. He was just way too big to be a bear, okay? And the way he stood was really very human-like. So I'm now back to where I was thinking, you know, my mind's racing, trying to take it all in, and yet I wanted to quickly raise my arm and point, so I did, and I looked at Kevin, and I said, look, and I picked up my arm, and I pointed towards him, because Kevin was fully engaged at the cows. He was looking to the east. I was looking to the north because this Bigfoot movement caught my eye as he came into view. I did not take my eyes off of that Bigfoot when I was screaming at my husband. Nope. I didn't.
Huh? I'm just curious, was the Bigfoot focused on the cows or on you?
Me. He was not looking at the cows. I really believe with all my heart and soul, I can't prove it,
but I believe that he was there because of the cows. But it was us standing there, and we weren't a part of that equation, I don't think, in his book. And it was like, it almost felt like we were as shocking to him as he was to us. And I did scream.
Yeah.
And my husband looked at me screaming, and then he followed my arm as I'm pointing. But as I was screaming to Kevin, this Bigfoot took 3 very large, deliberate steps backwards. And he did it like it was an effortless movement, and he never took his face off of my face. He took these
That's awesome.
3 big steps backwards. I'm telling you before God, this is what happened. And it was so freaking frightening. But as he went back, and I was so grateful he was going back and not coming forward, you know, because I would have lost it and been screaming and running. But he went back, and that's where Kevin finally saw, when he had taken the first step, I was screaming. The second step, he was back. But by the third step back, the trees, those were all pine trees and just tall, really garbagey kind of trees that just grow in the green swamp, all kinds of trees with a lot of palmettos and bush. You could not make out his blackness with the shadows in the trees. And so Kevin saw something, and he's like, what is that? What is that? And, you know, I told him as I was pointing, we have got to get out of here. And, you know, I just kept saying to him, Kevin, we've got to get shelter. We've got to get shelter. And I was like in a panic because of the size of this thing and being so freaked. And so I started running towards the house, and Kevin wasn't running. He was still looking to see what I was making all this fuss about. And I'm screaming to him, hurry, hurry, come on, get in here. You know, he was scaring me because he was taking his time. And I ran up into the lanai where our pool deck was, and I grabbed my little dog, and I ran in the house, and I literally was shaking like a leaf. I was in pure fear at that moment, going, holy crap, it is true. It is really true. And these people are not telling stories. You know, they are telling the truth. And so, you know, we later, very sheepishly, were looking out our windows and the French doors by the pool, because we had come in and locked everything. And I just wanted to make sure that we were really safe and he wasn't still out there, because now it was dark and I had no clue where he was. So about an hour later, we both mustered up the guts to go sit out on the lanai, and we were just hoping that we would hear something from the pool deck, like a loud howl or something, or maybe, you know, him walking back there and all of that fallen leaves and limbs and all of that. We were just hoping that we would see something. And I had my phone there. I was ready to call 911. And, you know, we were ready to get a camera and get something on film. After all, my husband owns a studio, you know, Kiel Media Studios and Paris Productions. And so, you know, we were thinking, well, we didn't own Paris Productions at the time, but we were doing Lakeland Productions at the time. But anyway, I really hadn't known if Bigfoot was real until that night. And he is definitely real. I will stand up and let everybody know that, you know, because a lot of people don't believe it. They think, well, you've never found any proof. Well, my husband does have, from the green swamp back in the west track, he had a footprint sighting, and he had a big one and a smaller one, but the smaller one did not come out. And the big one did, and it's like 15 inches. It's huge. He made a plaster cast of it. And anyway, that is what happened. And, it, you know, it's called the Florida Skunk Ape, and everybody says that the skunk ape really stinks, and it was, you can smell it. I didn't smell a thing. I did not smell anything. And this wasn't the brown and orange like a friend of ours. I can't think of his name. He's pretty famous there. I just can't think of his name. Long-haired dude in Florida. They do a lot of he's on TV. Stacy Brown. And he always said that the one that he had seen was brown and kind of orangish, but no, this dude was huge and solid black. So that is what happened, and that was 2019.
Okay, all right. Now I'm going to put a semicolon there, and I'm going to let our panel ask you some questions. And I want to start with Queen of Scarycast, Robin. Robin, what questions do you have? And I'm going to say this. I'm not going to ask a question, but I'm going to say I thought that was a fairly compelling story, didn't you, Robin? Robin?
Did she disappear?
She vanished.
If she disappeared, she's a smart lady, and she would call right back in. And it looks like she's still online with us. Robin, are you there?
I wonder if her mic is probably muted.
Yeah, she might have muted her mic.
Yeah, she might have. That happens. But I'll tell you what, we'll go to Dr. Trey Donaway. Dr. Trey, do you have any questions for Terry? That's a compelling story, don't you think?
Oh, yes. But I tell you, the striking similarity in Robin's development, she started off as a young child also. And maybe Terry could share with us, as Robin has explained in her life, that she didn't know the abnormal was abnormal because it was normal to her. And it's only later on did she discover that she was experiencing things that most people don't experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very true.
So how did it start for you, Terry?
Well, it started when I was 5, and very strange, incredibly strange. I was out in the front yard playing with our neighbors, the Beckers, in the Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, and my dad and my stepmom were in the house. And we were all out front, the kids. There was about 6 of us. And the Beckers were all baseball players, so they all wanted to go and play baseball. Well, I was kind of a foofy girl, and I didn't want to play baseball, so I stayed in the front yard by myself. And I was just hanging out in the front yard, you know, not really sure what I was doing, to be honest with you, but I heard a man's voice call my name, just Terry. And I figured, oh, got to be my dad. So I looked up at the house, and we had this little tri-level house, and there was a garage door area, and there was a big picture window area and a big front door area. And I looked at the garage area, and I did not see my father, so I just kept staying in the front yard, you know. And I do remember I was standing looking over at the Beckers, which they were on the other side of the street and down about 2 houses. I was watching my brother and those guys all playing ball. And I heard my name a second time, Terry. And I turned to the house thinking, oh, okay, now he's going to be mad or upset with me. And I turned around to see if my dad was there, you know, looking at me and calling my name. He wasn't there. And I thought, what? You know, so, you know, little kids, I just kept playing, you know, I just kept hanging out in the front yard. But the third time that he called my name, something in the sky was moving. And I never would have looked up in the sky because what little kid would look up in the sky when somebody calls their names? I mean, that's just not normal. So I looked up and there was a man standing in the sky. And he was dressed in a robe, and there was a flowingness to that robe that caught my eye. And I looked up there, and I thought to myself, I don't think men are supposed to stand in the sky. And, you know, I mean, I was five. What did I know? But something was telling me there was something wrong with that. And so I started backing up. And as I started backing up, getting closer to the house, because I was kind of out at the end of the driveway, and it was a pretty long driveway, so I started heading up back to the house. And this was over a cornfield, this big cornfield in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. There's a lot of farmland out there, and our house was next to this big corn farm. So I'm backing up, and he's getting closer. He's coming right down at me. And as I'm looking at him, I didn't see anything negative on his face or frightening or anything like that, but just the mere sight of seeing this flowy robe and him coming closer freaked the bejesus out of me, and I turned around now and started running towards the house. And I ran in the house screaming to my father, "Daddy, Daddy, there's a man standing in the sky. There's a man standing in the sky." And he was in the kitchen doing the dishes, and he looked down at me, you know, with his wife. And he looked down at me, and he said, "Terry, go get ready for dinner." And I'm standing there, "Dad, Dad, there's a man outside in the sky." And he said, "Okay, honey, okay." And he just wrote it off like I was full of baloney. And I remember going to wash my hands and getting ready for dinner like he told me to. And I was so struck that he would not go check that out when I was so freaked out. And it was at that point I thought to myself, I don't know who else to tell. I've already told my dad. You know, who else do I tell? You know, the siblings were all out across the street playing, and I thought, I guess I don't tell anybody. And so I didn't. But, you know, when I talk to people today. Oh, what?
I said, I really sympathize with you, because my first abduction, I remember I was 4 years old. And when I was on the craft, they told me they had taken me even before then. And it's uh-huh. like, who do you tell?
Right.
You know, my parents, yeah, and I tried to say something earlier, and I could hear you guys, but you guys, first I got disconnected. Then when I called back in, I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. What, you know, you had made a statement, and this all ties into what you were talking about. You made a statement, you didn't know if it was an ET or if it was paranormal or what it was. The forest
right.
people are all of those things. They are absolutely
yeah,
all of those things. They're a human
mm-hmm.
hybrid, but they're multidimensional. They can be in physical form. They can go in spirit form. They can go through any dimensional form they want to. The paranormal
yes.
abilities they have is off the charts. And then,
yes.
you know, like you said, when you were five, you saw this being floating. The one that I saw floating outside the craft didn't have a robe on. He had pants and a shirt, and he actually had a belt on. It was really weird. And the only reason he didn't
mm-hmm.
take me was because of the Bigfoots. They stopped it. I was wide awake when it went on. I'm sitting there like slapping my arms and pinching myself going, okay, wake up. This is a dream. Wake up. This is a dream. It wasn't a dream.
Yeah,
so
I've had that.
I completely get what you're talking about when you say, you know, who do you tell? I was like that for years because my parents were very kind about it. They were never
yeah.
misbelieving of me. They just said, we can't help you because we don't know what to tell you. This isn't something we're familiar with. And I was like, okay. And then I just went quiet. And I would think over and over again about saying something to my friends or my sister or my cousins or whatever. And it's like, well, you know, when you're little, you think your mom and dad know everything.
You do.
And it was
mm-hmm.
like, well, yeah. And it's like, well, if mom and dad don't know it, these idiots aren't going to.
Hmm.
I mean, we're just kids. We're all stupid.
Exactly.
We're just kids. And so
right.
you go through this long period of time where it's just you question your sanity, even as a child, even though you physically know in your heart it's real.
Right. Yeah, I knew that was real. There was no doubt, you know.
Yep.
Why would a little kid even make something that bizarre up? And, you know, back then I was so, you know, that was such a long time ago. That was 65 years ago. Okay. And we didn't have TVs. Well, we may have had a TV, but did we have one? Yeah, we did have one, but we were only allowed to watch Lawrence Welk and Mickey Mouse. You know, we didn't watch things that would frighten children. So even
right.
if I wanted to make something like that up, it wasn't in my mind to know to
no,
make
in the
something
life,
like that.
There were no books on the subject anywhere. From the time, my
right.
thing that drove me to learn to read is I wanted to read about other people that experienced what I did. And there is nothing that was there at that time.
Right. There
at,
was nobody
you know,
to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, Carrie,
and there wasn't
a lot of
anybody.
Talking, girl.
This is Dr. John, and I want to interrupt with a Robin McCray story. This is one of the most charming stories Robin has ever told, and she hadn't gotten to it, so I have to tell on her. I remember she
okay.
said, I looked up at these beings, and I said, you're going to be in big trouble when my mom finds out that you've taken me.
Yeah.
Robin, please, that is the most, that is truly the most charming UFO story in history.
I was 4 years old, and I was taken up on this craft. And I remember the symbols that were on the walls. I remember they had this table that fell off the wall. It had no legs on it. It was just like it jutted out from the wall. Everything inside was white. And it had
oh
it actually
gosh,
looked
that's
like
crazy
a
here.
Yeah, and it
I,
actually
I've
had
seen
a little
that, so that's crazy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well,
sorry.
It looked like it was no, you're fine, sweetie. Yeah, you and I are gonna have to talk after this show too, I'm just telling you. But there's like a laptop that had all these multicolored buttons, and then on the wall from like 3 foot off the ground all the way up were these very large multicolored buttons. And these look there's two little beans, and they would go and they would hit these buttons for whatever the reason. And then there was a doorway that was an arc, and there were glyphs all the way around it. And then in this little corner off to the left of it was this little ET. It was a gray. And she came out, and she extended her hand first from the shadows and tried to take my hand. And I wouldn't let her take it. And I told her off. I mean, I was really cocky. I have no idea why. I was like, you are in so much trouble because when my mom finds out I'm not in bed, you get to deal with my mom. And you don't want to deal with my mom when she finds out I'm in bed. And I need to get back home and in bed right now. She never, her facial expression didn't change. But, you know, I was able to mind speak, really. I don't know when I didn't. Like, probably even before I could talk. And I could feel the humor, and I'm an empath, so I get emotions as well. And I could feel her almost like some kind of, not really laughter, like humor that we would have, but it kind of tickled her a little bit. You know, it was crazy, but I told him off. I said, you better get me home now, because when she finds out, you are in so much trouble. I don't even want to know. And I'm telling her it's your fault because I didn't do this.
And Robin, I have to say, that is the single most charming UFO story I have ever heard. And thank you for recounting that, because that is told only as a child could have said it.
Yeah,
and it's just
when they pick me now, it's
yeah.
not nearly as yeah, the one a couple months ago I'm still having the after effects from, so I liked it better when I told them off.
That's exactly
well, you
right,
know,
because they didn't want to mess with your mom. No, yes, go ahead, Terry.
No. Well, I was just going to say that it's so sad how our parents won't validate us or didn't, follow up. It was just like they didn't have the understanding, and they just were like not awake. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom
yeah,
does know. Like, it took my mom a long time to get there because I was born in 64. Patterson-Gimlin film wasn't out yet, so nobody talked about the Bigfoot.
Right.
The ghost part of it, my mom could relate because my mom's always been able to speak to spirits. So when I was doing it in 3 and 4 years of age, that didn't faze her. You know, she was like, okay, but you have to be really careful because there's good ones and there's bad ones, you know, and so we didn't really go into it really in depth, but that she was a little bit more comfortable with. She knew that. And then
right.
mm-hmm. when it was cryptids and UFOs everywhere and ETs everywhere and visiting me and taking me and all these things, they had no point of reference. They didn't know where to look for a point of reference. And the only thing they ever told me as I was growing up is, the one thing we do know, you don't lie. You've made a lot of things, but you're never a liar. And they said they just did not know. And my mom said that to this day, just didn't know how to help you because there were no resources available. There was no point of reference. Now, as I got older, I will say this, my mother and my dad was the same way. My dad heard him howling one night outside, and that kind of unnerved him a little bit, but he never saw them. But to this day, you know, my mom has always been, she will never say that it's not true. She says, you know, I may not be able to understand it or comprehend it, but there's something there. Well, she came to my house one weekend. She lived like 2 hours away, and she came down. I had just gotten a house on the river, and you know, no matter where I go, they're tapping on the windows all night long or they're doing whatever they're doing. Like last night, it was a free-for-all. We had everything running around. But they're all well-behaved, but it was crazy. Got some cool pictures, though. And so she stayed the weekend. And in the morning, I woke up, and she gets up really, really early. She was up before I was, and she's like, something knocked on the window all night. I said, yeah, I know. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. I said, 2 o'clock in the morning, they're pounding on the window, so I'll go outside and sit with them. And I don't like to do that with a group here because I don't know them that well. My old group at the other house, I did it every night. So I haven't been going out other than to go stand on the porch. And I said, I was so tired, I fell asleep. She said, they knocked all night. She kept saying it over and over again. And I said, Mom, I'm really sorry it kept you up. She said, no, they're really out there. Like, they literally knocked all night long. So that, you know, kind of put her into it. And then we had gone to my daughter's soccer game. And I had, because I work with people all over the world, and people were contacting me all day long. And I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Somebody was frightened. They were getting some activity. And the activity was fine, but they didn't understand it. And they were frightened. So I'm, like, hiding in the bathroom talking to them at 3 o'clock in the morning. And when I came out, she's like, I still don't understand it, but I get it. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, it's all real. And I said, yeah, Mom, it always has. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, my mom doesn't know just how real it is. Tell my mother everything for the sake of her sanity. She knows that the Bigfoots are all around me. That she's perfectly comfortable with. You know, they make her a little nervous, but she's fine with it. She does not know about all the abductions. She knows that I've seen the UFOs and I've seen the ETs, but I've never really gone into great detail. She can't stop it. She can't fix it. And it would just terrify her as a parent if you knew that was happening to your child, you know. And she didn't know about it when I was growing up because there was no frame of reference. When I asked her about it, they didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I didn't know that my mother was involved with extraterrestrials until I was 21, and I had had an experience in 1979 in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I guess what happened was after the experience, I won't go into the whole experience because it was rather long, but after the experience, I went to my mother's to tell her about it. I actually had seen a craft hover over a railroad track, and there was another craft on the side that took me in. So I saw exactly what you did. It was a white room. It was lit with a soft white that came from the ceiling, the floors,
the walls. Did you see the big colorful
red
dot, the buttons?
No, because I was in a very, I want to say it was a room where they were doing testing. So there, it wasn't like that. It was more medical maybe. But anyway, I went to my mom's house afterwards and I knocked on her door and I thought it was like maybe 2:30 and it was actually 4 a.m. But because I didn't believe in extraterrestrials and I didn't know anything about them at that time, I didn't realize I had had missing time. So when I got to my mom's and her husband said, what are you doing here at 4 in the morning? I mean, why are you here so early? And I thought, 4 in the morning, he must be nuts. He must be so tired he doesn't know what time it is. It's only 2:30 at night.
Right.
And, you know, then I figured out, well, I didn't figure it out right then, but I figured out later, oh, my God, I had what they call missing time. But as I was telling her about what had happened to me, she very calmly said to me, it's okay, Terry. I've seen them too. And at that moment, I realized my mother never told me that she knew about extraterrestrials, but she owned a houseboat, and they would go out on the houseboat for like 3 months out of the year, and they would take it out into the Gulf of Mexico, and she saw USOs, which are ships that come straight up out of the water. She saw this very large green ship, and
that's
her and her
fantastic.
Husband. Yeah, it's amazing. And then,
well, you know,
and then many years later, I became involved with MUFON and found that my oldest brother, who was a Air Force guy, had when he was 9 years old, he had had a relationship with this craft in Miami, Florida. And then years later, in 2012, my son and I ended up seeing on a mother-son date night a craft that morphed into it was three lights that morphed into a triangle. So the whole family, and, you know, who knew, you know? Sounds like someone's sleeping.
Yeah, and that's a great story. I will have to say that we
I'm
have
sorry,
had on
just,
scary guests.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. I have no idea. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I don't think it's Devin. I don't think it's Tyler, and I don't think it's Trey. We are having some
still here.
Yep.
That is so
and we're having some death. Right. We have this happen from time to time, Terry. And I did want to say we have had Preston Bennett, who wrote the book USOs, Unidentified Submerged Object. He has been a guest on ScaryCast. He was a wonderful guest. I'm trying to get him back with his new book. And yeah, he's not talking about that stuff for 2 hours. It was wonderful. So that stuff is very, very, very real, and everything. And what I'd like to do, because we're having such a good time talking with you, I want to make sure that Tyler and Devin and also Trey, because Trey basically started the Robin question. So, Devin, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you had had any experiences with mind speak.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. With what?
Oh. With mind speak. I know Robin has done a lot of mind speak, you know, where you can kind of remotely talk with beings like Bigfoot or other creatures. So I just wondered if you had that experience.
Well, the experiences that I have had have all been with, full-bodied apparitions that came and were reaching out to me. And those were really beyond frightening. And they were speaking to me, but in the middle of speaking, and I don't know if this is what you're talking about, in the middle of speaking, they morphed into something else, and it was very frightening.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, and I've had it happen twice. And what I tell people as a demonologist is not to speak to the spirits if they come to speak to you. Not all of them are good or positive. Many of them are manipulative and can even
right.
be, you know, they can really be very evil. And it isn't a good thing to enter into these conversations, because they've been here since the beginning. We've only been here so many years. They're much smarter than we are, and they know how to manipulate and cause issue with us, and they can possess, they definitely can possess and change your character, your attitude. There's actually a countenance that can come over people. Being a demonologist, I have seen so many absolutely frightening things that people have dealt with. And a lot of people really don't like to talk about biblical things, but I do want to just say just this. When Jesus was in the Gerasene tombs, he came upon a man that was frothing at the mouth, and people would have said that was like an epileptic seizure, and he was, throwing himself into the fire, and he would stand up and then throw himself down again. And listen to this. This is profound. Jesus didn't get out sage or holy water or EMF meters or anything like that. He simply looked at him and said, "Who are you?" And the demon spoke out of the man and said, "We are legion." And that is so profound, because what it shows us is that one human can be possessed by a legion of demons. And to me, it reminded me when I was little, I had a kitty and she had to be wormed. And when she was wormed, hundreds of worms came out in her poop. And I thought, oh my God, this poor little thing is full of worms, you know. And it's like that with a human. They can be full of worms, demons. And this is why I got into it, because I thought, I've got to do something to help people. I can't let this happen. If they don't understand what's happening to them, you know, somebody has to tell them. Somebody has to help. And, you know, I was so convicted at a young age to help, you know, humanity not be bound by all of this. And I'm still doing it today, you know.
I love that. That's great.
Well, thanks for that great question.
But anyway, yeah.
And Kyler, do you have a question for our guest?
Well, yeah, I do. But real quick, Terry, you're about to say something. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that there is so much that goes on in this life, you know, so many mysteries, both in heaven and earth and in the cosmos and everywhere else. I truly believe that we're spiritual beings on a human journey, and we're all on our own path experiencing things that we will need as energy beings to take to the next level. You know, no one gets out alive here, nobody. So we're all going to have a time when we exit and we move forward. And what we learn here and how we learn to handle it and help one another in our trials and different tribulations, both spiritually, extraterrestrially, you know, demonics, angelics, however we experience things, and they're all here, you know, they're energy and we're energy. So this is why I believe Bigfoot is a different form of energy. You know, I was talking to somebody today who said he wasn't, that they didn't even believe in him. They just thought it was nonsense. And, you know, I take a very strong stand on that. Just because somebody doesn't believe doesn't mean that it's so, you know. They just haven't arrived at a place where they can comprehend the bigger picture. I guess that's really all I wanted to say about that.
All right, great. All right, Kyler, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I have a question and kind of a statement. I mean, when you were telling your stories, I was really jealous of the fact that you and Robin are having all these encounters, but also on one side, I'm also like, well, I mean, do I really need to be jealous? Because some of these can actually be very terrifying. So I think I'm actually good. But the question I had was, do you think that they're more exposing themselves to, I guess, kids who are at a certain age where no one will really believe them if they actually catch them or if they show them too much, like what happened to you?
That is such a good question, and thank you for asking it, because you know what? When we're young, we're very innocent and we're very open, And, you know, my statement was, gee, I don't think men are supposed to stand in the sky, is so indicative of the fact that young children don't know the norm versus the paranorm. And so we are so easily tricked or led astray or however you want to label that terminology there, we can be changed by these spirits that try to control us. And I truly, truly believe that as young children, when we're that open, they know that they can come to us and reveal themselves to us. Some children will scream and pull the covers over their eyes and close their eyes and ignore it. Others will tell their parents will guide them wisely away from that and convince that child it isn't happening, even though I know it's happening. And yet, other children like myself live in the torture of adults not relating and not being able to understand. And my curiosity kept me always walking towards it, not away. I had a very strong, tenacious spirit, and I wanted to understand why I was here, but I also had an advantage others didn't have. I was hearing audibly a message or a word, if you will, from God. And so I was actually hearing God ask me questions. And I remember when I was about 5 or maybe even 4, I'm not sure what it was, the actual year, because I was way too young to have comprehended all of that. But I remember saying, I'm ready to come home now. And I said this very literally out loud. I'm ready to come home now. And I said, you know, I don't want to be here any longer. I've tasted the spaghetti and it's really good. And I love the garlic bread. And, you know, I was telling him I had seen the rain. I had been in the snow. The sunshine was wonderful. I loved the cat. I've seen the dogs. I've seen, you know, so many things. And I was giving a data dump to God about how my life had lived it, you know, how I had lived it. And I was telling him, I'm ready to come home now. I don't want to be here. And I ended it with this. I've already had chocolate ice cream. I really like it, but I don't want to stay. And so as I said that, I heard him say to me, you are not coming home. And I thought, okay, I just accepted it. Now, when I was 21, I had an experience where I was begging to come home, and he would not allow me to come home. And I was having an out-of-body experience, which was the first one I'd ever had. And I told him when he was bringing me back to the body, please don't bring me back to that carcass. Please don't make me go back in that carcass. And I looked at it as a decaying, horrifying carcass, and that this world, this earth that we live on, which in the Bible is called the land of the living, I didn't want to be in the land of the living, and I kept saying, I don't want to go back. I won't go back. And he said, you will go back. And he put me back into my body. When my body on the bed, my jaw dropped open, and I remember saying to him, I can't go back. I don't know how I got out of my body. You called me. I don't know how I got out. And he said, the same way you came out, you will go back through your mouth. And it occurred to me then, he breathes the breath of life into us. And when our spirit leaves our body, that's the breath of our life coming out. So the body is where the true life, the spirit is where the true life is that controls the body. But once the spirit leaves the body, it's dead or it's a carcass or it's in a freeze frame, and he allows for that. And so many people leave their bodies. Many people have amazing stories about that. And it just blew me away that as I put my carcass back on like a glove, I was screaming, no, I won't. And then it fit right perfectly on me. My spirit is a perfect replica of my body. And I do believe that's how we'll know each other on the next level. You'll know my face, you'll know my body, and we will recognize one another. We will know, and we will have understanding, but we'll be in a place of more pure love. There won't be all that judgment. There won't be all the lust. There won't be all the negative and all of that. It's a higher level of the spirit realm. And I'm just blown away at how awesome it is and how these experiences that I've gone through have shown me these things so that I'm not afraid of the demons and I'm not afraid of the darkness and the different things that can happen because I'm focused on all the positives and the love and the light, you know, and I'm sure Robin can identify with that, you know.
Definitely. I do energy work mm-hmm. and I work with a lot of people with the energy work and the light work. And I had a couple people that have had demons attacking them and I've gotten rid of those. So, yeah, I get it. You know, and the thing is no matter what lifetime you're in, your soul will always recognize another one. The souls never forget,
yes.
Even when the demons do. So you can be, like my husband, perfect example. The second I heard his voice, the souls remembered. You know, and
yep.
We ended up together. That's why you'll meet mm-hmm. people in your life, and then all of a sudden it's like, I know you from somewhere. And I have people in my life now that I've known from previous lifetimes because the souls, mm-hmm. we're all energy and light beings. Everything is. And the souls don't forget. The brain will forget a lot of things, but the souls and the energy and the light never do.
Right. I do believe that, you know, we just like they say that our DNA has a remembrance, like if somebody dies and they get the eyes of another person, all of a sudden this person wants to do something because the DNA in those eyes remember and pass it on to the new DNA. Have you ever heard about that? That stuff is amazing. And they're finding that it's factual and scientifically right, that we have remembrance in our DNA. And so other things that have happened and people say in previous lives are carried forward. And I did have somebody read me once and say, the reason, Terry, that you're always drawn to the finer things in life is because in a previous life, you were unbelievably wealthy and married to someone who was a very respected man, highly respected, and ridiculously wealthy. And so you had servants, you had all this, but you were known as one of the kindest women, and you were well known for that and your generosity. And it's funny that in this life, I have always gravitated to those things. Now, they do say that, you know, and I don't know because now I can only really talk about what I actually know and what I've actually experienced. And I don't remember other lives except that when I was about three, I was having, and that was why I was saying there were some things I remembered. I was having these dreams, it appeared they were dreams, of being on a big, big ship and it crashed, and I was sinking, and I saw these fish eating the humans that were laying at the bottom of the bed of the sea, and they were literally eating the people. And as I was going down, I could see that, and I was one of the people, and I saw a lot of shoes, and I saw a lot of things. But the other people weren't there, so I must have been in a ladder wreck or something, or I died, and then, you know, I don't know. But anyway, why would a little child have that, and why would that come back to my mind several times throughout my lifetime? I couldn't shake it. It was always there. So, you know, what does that prove? Does that prove that we are reincarnated? You know, does it prove that we have remembrance of a past life? It's just so interesting to me.
So I definitely remember things that happened in my past life.
Yeah.
Pat and I even have some shared memories of past lives together.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's incredible. All right, we're getting toward the end zone of time, as they say in football. This is Dr.
John, you're cutting out.
Well, I hope we're getting better, and I hope everyone can hear me now.
There we go.
But I'd like for Dr. Trey Dunaway to ask our question tonight of our guest. And Terry, I'm going to go ahead and say this. We would like to invite you back before the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference to be our guest probably 10 days before the conference. We would love to have you back because this has been truly one of the better shows that I have ever emceed. And this is just so much fun listening to you talk. So anyway, Dr. Trey Dunaway, take us home with your question, and then I'll tell everyone sayonara.
You know, I expected a Bigfoot discussion tonight, and it took a turn, and it became infinitely interesting. And I hope Terry does come back and to explore some of these experiences that she's had. Terry, briefly, are you still able to communicate with who you perceive as God?
I am. I still have audible hearing. I have had it my whole life. I remember when I was about 11 walking home from school, I was standing next to a bush. And I was breaking the leaves in half because they smelled so fresh and wonderful. And I was sniffing them, and I heard a voice to my left, and there was not a person standing there. And he said, "Terry, are you going to be good or are you going to be bad?" And I responded right out loud, "I'm going to be good." And I was smelling those little leaves, and I walked on home. So this voice is as common to me as your wife's voice or your child's voice. You know, I don't know if you're married or have children, but it was that common. And I still have it.
Does this voice identify themselves as God to you? Or
does,
is this?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Okay.
He does to me. And it's always a male voice. And however, I will say this, and this is a conundrum of sorts. When I had my alien healing in 2012 from a botched surgery that I had in 2000, a male voice came to me and called my name. And as I rolled over, there was a hybrid reptilian. And I'll share that in another time, but this was a life changer for me because it's always been a male voice. And I thought, okay, shape-shifting, remote viewing, where are we, Lord? You know, and I have seen angels, and it's always a male voice. So I do get where you're going there. And I've looked at it. And I've prayed about it, and I'm just really intrigued about it, you know?
I would imagine so. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'll tell you what, we've got the world's greatest panel. We've had the world's greatest questions, and we have had absolutely a spectacular guest tonight. And next week is Labor Day. We're going to give everybody the week off. I've got an adventure, and I'll tell everybody about it throughout this week. I've got an adventure next Monday night. Got to do it. And it's a perfect time for us to have the week off, and then we will be back the week after Labor Day with John LeMay. We will be back after that. We've got Ike Mesa. Ike is a Marine. There's no such thing as a former Marine. He was a Marine deployed in 29 Palms, California. He is a radio expert, and he's going to talk to us about ghost transmissions. He was trained by Harris Incorporated, one of the largest radio manufacturers in the world. He was trained by the military. He's going to talk about ghost transmissions and all kinds of fun stuff. And I'm going to get some information out to all of you before that broadcast, because this is going to be, I think we got the greatest programming in the world. And then we're going to have Elijah Henderson, and then we're going to have Terry Ling, and then we're going to have the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. So we've got a gigantic September here on ScaryCast. I want to thank all of our hosts. I want to thank our guests. We had truly about one of the most interesting shows I think we have ever had. I'm going to do the call around. I wanted to say thank you to everybody for being on ScaryCast tonight. And Terry Ling, thank you so much. Well, I guess I better ask you first, will you come back?
I sure will, gladly.
Well, great. And I tell you what, if it's all right between you and Robin, may I send you both a text with your phone numbers in it so you two can chat. Is that okay?
Oh, I would love that. Yes, very much.
Oh, I'd love it.
Robin,
that
is that
so
okay?
Oh,
okay,
let
me get through the call around, and I will send that text out. So this is Dr. John signing off from beautiful, partly cloudy Myrtle Beach. It's just beautiful here. It's about 74 degrees. It could not be any more perfect. I'm so sorry for all those people in Lake Mead where it's hot and dry. It is beautiful here in Myrtle Beach, and it's been a beautiful ScaryCast. So thanks a lot. We'll see everybody next time, the week after Labor Day, with our buddy John LeMay. Thanks a lot, and everybody can say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
Thank you, Terry.
Take care.
Bye.